segment of Face the Nation on the radio is presented by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A surprise twist in the murders of four University of Idaho students in 2022. The victim's family say Brian Koberger has agreed to admit to the crimes.
Pleading guilty will spare Koberger the death penalty. He'll agree to four consecutive life sentences and will waive all rights to appeal. Koberger fatally stabbed the four students at an off-campus home in 2022. Benjamin Mogan's daughter, Madison, was one of the victims. He's relieved there will be no trial.
You don't have to torture families that have been already through the most horrific thing they could ever imagine.
But the family of another victim is upset with the plea deal. They posted on Facebook the state of Idaho has failed them. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
We're learning more about the gunman who police say shot and killed two fire battalion chiefs in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. CBS's Naomi Ruckum.
They say 20-year-old Wes Rowley set the fire to lure first responders up Canfield Mountain, had contact and a brief discussion with the crews, and then started shooting over several hours, at one point shooting at authorities from within a tree.
They say Rowley, who'd been living out of his car, shot and killed himself. After staying up around the clock for 2 days straight, Senate Republicans are racing to lock down the votes they need to pass President Trump's sweeping tax and domestic policy bill. South Carolina's Lindsey Graham.
Y'all will never do anything to make sure taxes go down, so we're going to make sure they go down forever.
Connecticut Democrat Chris Murphy.
At the foundation of this bill is something very simple, the most massive transfer of wealth from the poor to the rich in the history of the country. That's essentially what we're talking about here.
Lawmakers are holding a vote-a-rama on last-minute amendments right now. The president wants the bill on his desk by Friday. It could get smelly soon in the city of brotherly love. Almost 10,000 municipal employees went on strike this morning after contract talks broke down. CBS News Philadelphia's Ross DiMatte.
We're talking about folks like trash collectors, street repair crews, water treatment plant operators, and police dispatchers, just to name a few. All of them joining the picket line overnight, either literally here in person or in spirit, and refusing to go back to work until the city comes back with a better offer.
Grilling burgers for the fourth? The ground beef will cost you more than ever. The American Farm Bureau Federation estimates retail prices have jumped more than $6.60. The group blames drought, high grain prices, and inflation for a historically low cattle supply and surging demand for beef. Dow futures are down 52. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best, the only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best, better taste, better nutrition, better egg.
Local news on WRJN is brought to you hourly by Conventional Concrete Systems. Top-notch work with a beautiful finish. 262-209-3168.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It's an important week for the crew at the Racine Legacy Museum and Veterans Center. With the 4th of July just days away, the Racine Legacy Museum is wanting to make sure local service history isn't lost. The Main Street Museum is reminding people that things found in a closet or a basement, like photos, uniforms, and display cases, can be donated to their effort. To contribute, you could call the Legacy Museum or stop by during their regular hours. They're open to the public on Mondays and Thursdays and by appointment other days. The Fair Share America tour bus stopped in Racine this week, with speakers warning about what they say is a budget proposal that could trade health care and food aid for tax cuts. Republican supporters say the bill will reduce government waste and promote long-term economic health. You can go deeper on the Fair Share America bus tour online and see images from the event. Check out RacineCountyEye.com. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Conventional Concrete Systems is making concrete great again as the best in the Midwest. If it's a sidewalk, patio, driveway, floor, curb, or gutter, experience matters. Their experts have you covered. Your home deserves the very best. Conventional Concrete Systems provides precision and excellence to every project. It's top-notch work with a beautiful finish that's built to last. Visit them on Facebook or call 262-206-3168 to get started today.
The Bucks making moves in free agency. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks have agreed to bring back three of their players, guards Gary Trent and Kevin Porter, and forward Taurean Prince, all three agreeing to two-year deals to stay in Milwaukee, with the second year being a player option. But the Bucks are losing their center, Brook Lopez. He'll sign a two-year contract with the LA Clippers. Lopez became a team leader during his 7 years with the Bucks.
Whatever happens, you know, whatever I do, just having a positive influence on the game. You know, that was my main thought. Having fun, but having a positive influence on the game, a positive impact.
Baseball, the Brewers taking on the Mets tonight in New York. The Crew coming off that 4-3 loss Sunday to the Rockies in 11 innings.
Extras are extras, but I mean, everyone in here was fired up to get a chance to walk it off, you know, so I don't think it's really hard necessarily to get back in the dugout and try to rally guys up because everyone's still chomping at the bit.
That's the Brewers right fielder Sal Frelick with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be mostly sunny and pleasant today. We'll get to around 82 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 67. Tomorrow, sunny, 87. And then on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
I don't eat well. I like buying donuts. I feel bad for the donut ladies because people can't make up their mind in these places. Okay. I'm looking around. All right. I need a dozen donuts. Oh, you have a lot of donuts. Okay, I'm going to start with four chocolate. I want two Twisty Goos. I want a lemon Twitter. I want a raspberry puff. I want a honey curl. One. Put it back. I want a Bavarian apple crunch. Get the ladder. Hey. Why don't you go out inside and think it over, huh? It's a big decision. Can't blow donut day. But the donut ladies have learned how to get back at you. They do the subtraction for you in front of the other customers, make you look like an idiot. You go in there, yeah, I'd like a dozen donuts. I'll start with seven chocolate. You have five left. Oh.
And good morning. We're going to talk 4th Fest. David Mack is with me this morning. He's on the 4th Fest committee. He's involved in everything. I don't know where you find all the time. You give tours at SC Johnson. You are our 4th District Alder. You are working with 4th Fest. You travel around the state all weekend.
And I run a daycare center called Grandpa's Daycare Service, and I only have two special,
I know,
clients.
Your grandchildren, I know. I follow you. And also, are you still doing the column?
I haven't done it.
Hit and miss?
Yeah, it's been hit or miss lately. We moved it over to the Racine County Eye, and I just have not sat down. And it's something that's back in my mind because I got a lot of material to work with.
Okay, so here's your choice. A little bit of rain or sunny and hot and highs in the 90s for the 4th of July.
A little bit of rain in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
To cool things down. But we can't have rain on the parade.
Yeah.
And we can't have rain for the fireworks. We've had it a couple times where it rained while we were waiting for the fireworks, and it kind of dampened the crowd. We didn't have as big of a turnout as we would have liked, but still got the fireworks off. I don't know if the fireworks have ever been canceled because of rain. I do know 1 year I was driving in the parade. I wasn't an alderman yet, and I had a couple aldermen in my car. I believe it was late Ron Hart, who just passed away last week, and Michael Shields. So they're sitting in the back of the convertible. We get to the Golden Rondelle, which is the official end of the parade, and I start to put the hood up on the convertible, and boom, it just pouring rain. Good thing those guys were in the front of the parade, but I'm sure quite a few people got wet.
You know, and we used to broadcast the parade on radio, and to do that, we had this, what they call a Marty pole. It's a giant pole. They got the signal back to the station 25 feet high. And one morning we set it up and there was a big bolt of lightning. I said, get that thing down. It's the tallest thing around here. Get it down. I don't need to be struck by lightning.
Well, I was going through some old pictures and WRGN had a North Side location on Main Street for quite a while.
Yeah, the bank building.
No.
Which one are you talking about?
The Rosen residence.
Oh, yeah, that location. Yeah, we had it right on my front lawn.
Yep.
It was good. It worked out real well.
Found some pictures of you shoving a microphone in the face of Paul Ryan and David Mack and other people.
You were riding the cart. Everybody else was walking.
Yeah. Well, that was my job. I had to ride in the cart.
Yeah, right. That's good. I was talking to
the parade marshal.
You could have walked.
Yeah, parade marshals.
Hey,
don't
blame
walk.
You. Notice I'm not walking this year.
You should. You should walk in behind the car that says WRGN on it because you're the local personality, right?
Well, Lou Regani's going to drive his classic car. He's got these old cars,
and you're going to sit in the passenger seat waving. What you should do is WRGN Don Rosen, and you should walk like all the politicians do.
You know, I was just talking to the mayor the other day. He was in here, and he's going to walk the whole route. It's like 2-point-something miles.
Usually he rides in that little electric steering
vehicle.
No, he's
walking this year. He's walking.
Oh, good for him.
But I don't know, 90 degrees, you better have a lot of water with you.
Yeah.
Because you're really going to get...
He's probably going to have his little sweater vest and his blue blazer on, so...
Yeah, it's going to be hot.
Yeah, he's going to get a little warm.
Now, the good thing is it's early in the morning, so it won't be 90 degrees in the morning. It's going to be still hot and sweaty.
It'll be hot. Believe me, it'll be hot.
Okay, so... I was at the driver's meeting the other day, and they said there's 140 units this year.
I had not heard the latest count, but that is a lot.
That's more. It's usually like 111, 112. Right. How'd it get to 140?
Civic pride.
That's a lot of people now. Yeah. Normally, it's about a 2.5-hour to 3-hour parade.
Yeah. It'll still be, but it takes a lot of time to get those units moving. You know, we ask people to be down there and ready by 7:30. And then you're looking like, what? I got to be down there at 7:30?
No, I get here at 5:30 in the morning. 7:30 is sleeping in late. No, I'm good.
And then, in your cars by 8:30 because, we're getting ready to roll. But those are the units up front. There's a whole bunch way in the back that... They don't get off the parade route, I think, until like 11 o'clock. So it's, for some, it's a lot of waiting. For others, boom, they're out the gate, out the chute right away. But it's logistically, it's a lot of moving pieces. Oh. We have 4 or 5 side streets where we stage units, and then you have... People that are working those side streets, making sure everybody's in place. And then when you start to get them moved, you have like those flight controllers, FAA, what do they call it? Is it flight controllers?
Yeah.
Yeah. That are kind of directing traffic and, they're pointing over here and, move over here and wait, you hold, this one goes. And, sometimes they're alternating because... You have these big, long units on Main Street, but you have the smaller units on the side streets. Well, you might have a unit on the side street coming out, but then you got to get the bigger unit on Main Street to follow behind it. So, I mean, it's a lot of orchestration that goes into getting this going. And then we have 2 guys or gals or a mixture that stand on Main and Gould, and their whole job is to direct and, all right, because we might have a unit coming off of Gould Street and then one off of Main Street, or there might be 2, and it's like, okay, you go now, you go, and they're the parade starters, and they're like the conductor.
I watched it, and it's one thing if you just have cars to deal with, but some of these groups have... A lot of students or a lot of people that are going to walk.
Right.
And they're like little flies buzzing around. And you got to get them together and pay attention.
Right.
And, people are excited. They're, I'm going to be in the parade. And I understand that. But you got to get together. You got to pay attention. And they're drifting off down the line somewhere. And they're going back and forth. I saw that last time. And I'd be the person on the bullhorn yelling at them, screaming at them. But people have patience now.
That's because you're a curmudgeon.
That's right. I'm a grump. So last year, we get out of our car, and I'm standing there. This is I forget the name of the car, but it's an old, from the 1950s.
Right.
It's an old car. And it looks in mint condition. I mean, Lou Regani takes good care of these cars. And I see green dripping out from the radiator onto the, right by the curb, but it's really coming out. And I say, Lou, come here. I think, what is this? Come
and
here.
And then Lou's like, yeah, don't worry about
that's
that.
That's what he said. He said, yeah. I overfilled the bucket, so it's just coming out. I said, but why is it even coming out of the car? I mean, it shouldn't be, and it's coming out a lot. I said, we'll make it. Yeah. And
yep, that's Lou.
And I'm staring at this green just oozing out of the car. And it's a clutch car. And a clutch car, you know, when you're dealing with a manual transmission of the parade, that's a lot of shifting.
So a little tidbit for you. Back when I was in college, I had the number one political talk show in Kenosha on cable TV.
Lou Regani worked
there. Lou Regani was my producer.
Damn.
And did a bang-up job. And so I score an interview with Morton Downey Jr., who was going to be appearing at the Riverside. Remember Morton Downey Jr.?
I remember him.
He's the guy that yelled at people while smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
So
and that did him in.
We're up in the green room at the Riverside, and we're doing this interview with them. And it was Dennis Milutinovich, who was on the Kenosha School Board at one point, myself and Lou Regani. Lou brings the camera. We're going remote, except we're just going to tape it. And he couldn't get the camera working. And it was a phenomenal interview because Morton Downey Jr., he just was his private or persona was much different than his TV persona. Actually, turned out to be a great guy and everything. He was a songwriter. I mentioned one of his songs that was a hit. He started to play it on the guitar and sing it for us. And it's like, I would have won the Jones Inner Cable award that year just for this interview. And then when we get back, Lou figures out that he forgot to flip a switch or something on it. It's like, Lou!
And his father was a big orchestra leader, Morton Downey Sr.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you meant Lou Regani. Sr.
Yeah, he was a big orchestra leader.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the parade.
All right.
Now it kicks off.
I got a lot of stuff to kick to,
all right,
to
we're
talk
gonna
about.
Get to, we're going to get to everything.
You sure? We're running out of time.
We're not running out. We're running out when I say we run out. Okay. It kicks off with a lot of motorcycles.
Well, at 8:30. No.
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
No. Parade kicks off at 9.
No, the pre-parade I'm talking
pre-parade.
About.
Pre-parade.
A lot of noise.
Yeah, that's usually at 8:30.
Oh, is it 8:30?
Okay. Yeah. And that is, you're right, it's a lot of noise. It's the stuff that we're moving down the parade route quickly. So it's motorcycles. I think they throw the antique cars in there.
Fire engines. Police cars.
Yep. All the stuff with loud tractors. JIK says a number of their tractors. So the pre-parade is kind of exciting, but it's not the parade. It's the pre-parade.
I describe that to people who don't live here. My friends, they say, what is a pre-parade? Well, it's the parade before the parade. Well, I don't understand it. Why don't you just call it the parade? I said, listen, don't involve me in this.
Yeah. So I don't know how even that started, but as long as I can remember, we've had a pre-parade.
And then there's a gap.
Yeah.
After the pre-parade.
A little gap. There shouldn't be much of a gap, but yeah.
Okay, let's talk about what's on your list.
All right, so the Racine Raiders this year are going to be our honorary Grand Marshals.
Yeah.
You know, we try to pick somebody significant, and occasionally we'll have a group that's selected. But in the past, we've had Caron Butler, we've had Leroy Butler. I think we had Joey and Anna Lagathe. So we've had a number of notables. Oh, I remember coming out to the staging area one year because Barbara McNair was the Grand Marshal.
Oh, wow, the actress, yeah.
And she was in an Elvis movie.
Which Elvis movie was she in? Oh, but don't tell me. It must have been one of his later ones. If I list it, will you know it?
I know it.
Okay, it wasn't The Trouble with Girls. It wasn't Charo. I'm thinking it was later ones. Live a Little, Love a Little. It wasn't that, was it? It wasn't. Change of Habit.
Yep, Change of Habit.
With Mary Tyler Moore and Barbara McNair. Right? That was it.
So I found a great picture once of Elvis, Mahalia Jackson, and Barbara McNair. And Mahalia Jackson asked Elvis if he would do a benefit for her. And he said, yeah, but I think she said she knew he never would because Colonel wouldn't authorize it, and he didn't do it. But I said to Barbara McNair, anyone that's been in Elvis movie is great in my book, you know.
You know, we get back to the parade. I notice some of these bands, and I'm not sure if they did in this parade, they wear these heavy uniforms.
Yeah.
I mean, really woolen uniforms that are really 90 degrees. That's going to be tough to march
in
a parade.
You know, the last couple years, I've noticed that some of the bands ditch the uniforms, but we also have seen the band shrink. After COVID, I think a lot of these marching bands lost some momentum. But we have the Badger Band coming back, and they are fun, and they wear shorts and a red T-shirt. But those guys and gals will get down and lay on the street and play their instruments, and they run all over and very energetic and put on a great show. But let's...
By the way, with the dogs in the show, I always feel bad for these dogs in the parade. The pavement could be hot, for one thing, and you got to keep these dogs hydrated.
Yep.
And by the way, if you come to the Rosen House, we always put water out in front of the house for people who have dogs walking, not in the parade, but, you know, on the sidewalk. We always keep a water bin out there for the dogs. It's free, too. No charge.
I've always been waiting for Don Rosen to run a bottle of cold water out to me, but it never happens. All right. So Jeff Koe is our Mark Mr. Racine Ikor Spirit of Racine Award winner. Mark Ikoris had a program here on WRHN, which I frequently co-hosted with him when he would invite me to do so. And Mark was known as Mr. Racine.
Yep.
He promoted everything Racine. And so after he passed away, his pastor came to me and said, we have some money left over from Mark's estate. We'd like to make a donation to Fourth Fest. Would you consider creating a Mark Ikor Spirit of Racine Award? And I was the president of the board at the time. I brought it back, and sure, it's not an award we give out every year per se, but we've had some, I think, exceptional people. Our first award winner was... guy by the name of Dustin, and he started asked me why I love Racine, and he just reminded me of Mark in the way he promoted Racine and everything positive. And Jeff Koe is one of those guys where you'll see him pushing a wheelbarrow down Main Street, and he has it filled with a bunch of goods, and he sells raffle tickets. So I told the grandkids, oh, look at that homeless guy. So when they were younger, they walked up to him and said, Grandpa, it's a homeless guy. And
would you like a sandwich, sir?
So we were at a party the other day, and Jeff Koe shows up, and he has his granddaughter. So my six-year-old grandson, Jeff says, do you know who I am? And Tanner looks at him and says, yeah, you're the homeless guy. And then Tanner was in the bouncy house playing with Jeff's granddaughter, and he didn't know it was the granddaughter, but he says to her, did you know your dad's homeless?
We're talking to David Mack, our 4th District Alder, but also on the 4th Fest Committee, we're talking about all the activities on the 4th of July coming to Racine. But first, here's Pete with the beat.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. During a recent appearance at Fuel Fest, Vin Diesel said he recently spoke with a Universal executive who asked him if they could do another Fast and Furious film, to which the actor said yes, but on three conditions. The conditions were to return the filming to production-starved L.A., embrace the purity of street racing once again, and to have his buddy Paul Walker make an appearance in the film. Walker passed away in 2013 after a high-speed car crash at just 40 years old. Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez's $50 million wedding was the talk talk of the weekend, but the talk wasn't all good. Charlize Theron spoke during her fifth annual African Outreach Project in L.A. and said to the crowd, "I think we might be the only people not invited to the most talked about wedding," at which point the Mad Max Fury Road star said, "That's okay because they suck and we're cool." Two very different events, but a lot less collagen and steroids at Theron's event. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And right now at 7:25, it's time for Paul Harvey and the rest of the story, brought to you daily by Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha, 75th Street and 30th Avenue, Kenosha's family tradition for stunning customized floral arrangements, homemade candles, and premium chocolates. Paul's coming up in 30 seconds.
When words fall short, let Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha speak for you with stunning floral arrangements. For birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and corporate events, their breathtaking bouquets and elegant designs set the perfect tone. Include indulgent DeBrand truffles or a signature Carrie's candle featuring relaxing scents like Wisconsin Northwoods, Ocean Breeze, or Mom's House. Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. Enter the spacious parking lot from 75th Street just west of 30th Avenue. Open until 7 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. Saturdays.
The rest of the story. It had been a lovely evening. It had been a wonderful evening. The first-class lounge on the SS Manhattan had been alive with laughter and song. Tomorrow, the opulent ocean liner would dock at Bremerhaven. The festivities would continue. Spirits were high. It was in this effervescent mood, encouraged by an ever-so-slight excess of champagne, that young Eleanor Jarrett returned to her stateroom that night. She was just reaching out for the doorknob, in fact, when she encountered Mrs. Ada Sackett, an acquaintance on the voyage. Mrs. Sackett was aghast. She told Eleanor, "Why, you look terrible." The younger woman replied that in all of her life she'd never felt better. "Just the same," began Mrs. Sackett. Well, she didn't finish the sentence. Instead, she put one arm around Eleanor's waist, led her into the stateroom. The assistance was unwelcome. Eleanor protested accordingly, but she deposited herself on the bed, after which Mrs. Sackett admonished, "Now stay there. I'm calling for a nurse and the ship's doctor." And smiling, Eleanor drifted off to sleep on the soft pillow. She had no intention of going anywhere, and moments later, she was blissfully unconscious. Only upon awakening in an aching fog the following morning did Eleanor learn the rest of the story. You see, Eleanor Holm became Eleanor Holm Jarrett upon marrying popular singer Art Jarrett in 1933. She was only 19, and yet already she'd led an exciting and glamorous life. At 16, she was invited to become a Ziegfeld Follies girl, and shortly thereafter, she was awarded a $500 a week motion picture contract with Warner Brothers. She studied drama with Clark Gable's first wife, partied with the Hollywood elite. Her beauty and her charm and her talent opened doors that few young women could even budge ajar. But then, at the height of her own popularity, age 22, she took an ocean cruise. The adventure she anticipated on the other side of the Atlantic ought to have been the greatest and most successful of her life. But then, after socializing with other passengers the night before docking in Bremerhaven, she was discovered in a state of pleasant inebriation, and at once her fondest dream was dead. For you see, the principal talent of the beautiful and talented Eleanor Holm Jarrett was swimming. For 4 years, the world records in the 100-meter and the 200-meter backstroke belonged to her. And now, in 1936, she was favored to retain her status at the Olympic Games in Berlin. Many considered it a mission back then for the Americans to vanquish Hitler's super racers, but instead, it was a girl from the Netherlands who won the gold in Eleanor's strongest event, because Eleanor was not even permitted to compete. I said Eleanor was not even permitted to compete. It will be difficult for us to imagine today, 6 decades later, now when the specter of drugs and even violence cast long shadows over international athletic competitions, and yet competitors are allowed to compete anyway. But once upon an Olympics, America's hopes for a gold medal in swimming were dashed when the competitor favored to win, Eleanor Holm Jarrett, was banished from the Olympic team for sipping champagne. And now you know the rest of the story.
Hey, it's 7:30 now, and it's time for the news, and let's do it once again. Here's Stuart J. Waddles with our local news. Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It was a bunch of kids that started what turned out to be a massive fire in Kenosha Sunday night. Five teenage boys were arrested, accused of starting a fire at an old warehouse on 13th Court. A witness reported seeing them leaving the scene on bikes from that fire on the north side. Investigators say the fire caused heavy damage, but there were no injuries. All five teens are now facing misdemeanor charges. The boys were released to their parents while the investigation continues. Kenosha's got the lowest price at the pump right now in the area. The price there is $2.92 a gallon today, with it around the $3 mark in Milwaukee and Racine counties. Some folks are looking to save a little money as people start to take off for vacations. Melissa Kay has more about the price at the pump around the state.
Average gas prices fell 7.3 cents over the last week, landing at $2.96 in the state today. This is 1.5 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and over 30 cents lower than this time last year. Gas Buddy's Independence Day gas price forecast projects the national average price to fall to $3.15 on July 4th. This would be down nearly 35 cents from last year's national average and the lowest Independence Day average since 2021. Gas Buddy officials say if tensions in the Middle East remain contained and the U.S. avoids a major hurricane, the national average could fall below $3 at some point this summer.
For the second time in less than a week, a big money lottery ticket was sold in Wisconsin, this time in Racine. It was a $350,000 super cash winning ticket sold at Arias Mobile on Douglas last week. Just 6 days earlier, another top prize ticket was sold in Oconomowoc. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
This heat and humidity may not be real comfortable, but it is just what the doctor ordered for our Wisconsin crops. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Anastasia Kurth is one of our regional crops and soils educators through UW Extension, and she says we were actually falling behind as far as heat units.
We've had quite a bit of heat going on, and typically, you know, heat kind of worries us in this situation, but however... this time, the heat was really much needed. So we had a deficit in our growing degree days for both corn and soybean from about June 1st through about June 20th. So we were really behind, and a lot of people noted that the crops looked very small. So we needed this heat to kind of give the crops a boost and boost those growing degree days.
Anastasia Kurth, one of our regional crops and soils educators. We've got the heat now, which is good for the plants. Now, she said the next thing we have to do, start scouting for insects. It's always something, isn't it? We'll get you up to speed on where the markets stand in overnight trade. That's next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Well, despite the fact that we've picked up a few more degree growing units for heat, our crop conditions not necessarily responding yet. This week, the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service says 75% of our corn's in good to excellent condition, but that's actually down a percentage point. 73% of our soybeans, good to excellent. That's unchanged. Winter wheat, 72% of that crop, good to excellent. That's down 3 percentage points. Oats, 85% good to excellent, also down 2 percentage points in ratings. Let's talk about the markets in overnight electronic trade. Getting rolling on a Tuesday morning. Right now, Dow Jones Industrial Average a little lower. Our December new crop corn is down 6 at 420. November new crop soybeans currently down 8 at 1019. And July new crop wheat currently unchanged at 528. On Monday, barrel cheese was up 3 cents at 169.5. Big move on 40-pound block cheese, up a dime at 172. While AA butter gained 3.75 cents to 260 a pound. This morning, the August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 4 at 1874. September closed 38 cents stronger at 1919 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Tuesday trade session. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 20 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. FreedomFireworksWI.com. The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 20 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thunder snaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to FreedomFireworksWI.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
It is going to be mostly sunny and pleasant today. We'll get to around 82 for a high this afternoon, with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 67. Tomorrow, sunny, 87. And then on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 84. Hi, meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
I had a donut. I had a donut before I came on stage. I was with a friend last week. I was like, you want to get a donut? He was like, I'm not hungry. I'm like, what does that have to do with it? As if there's ever been a good reason to eat a donut. Well, doctor says I need more powdered sugar in my diet. Donuts are bad for you. And according to my health nut wife, they're not appropriate for a trail mix. I'm just on a different trail, right? Mine leads to the emergency room. That joke will be even funnier when I die from cardiac arrest. That's why I didn't laugh. Donuts are all about taste. In Los Angeles, there's a place called Yum Yum Donuts. It's like, what do you need the IQ of one to find that appealing? Yum Yum. Me like Yum Yum. It's like, who's the target audience, cavemen?
I know two things, yellow fireball, rising sky, and Yum Yum Donuts. Yum Yum Donuts, Yum Yum.
David Mack, our Alder in the 4th District, and also on the 4th Fest Committee. I noticed you came empty-handed today with no Yum Yum Donuts or anything.
I never bring donuts, but I brought two phones this time instead of one, so I could hear you saying, get off your phone.
You know, in all the years I've been here, I don't think I've ever eaten in the building except for a meeting we had and they served lunch. I don't think I've ever eaten anything in this building.
That's wrong.
What's that?
That's wrong.
No, I just don't.
No, you have.
When was that?
When I used to do election night coverage, I brought in a couple pizzas one night and you were munching on them.
No, probably because it was past my dinner time, but when I work in mornings for all these years, I just don't eat. They bring in donuts and everything. I don't eat them.
Very
anyway,
good.
What's that?
I said very good.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. It looks like I've been eating them, but I really haven't.
Well, you know, I went through a bunch of pictures from over the years. Yeah. And you have a much slimmer face than you did back in the day.
Well, that's because I haven't had a haircut for a while. My mother used to say, you look like the wild man of Borneo. Get a haircut.
Although we were at a party the other day, so I said, Don Rosen walks, and I said, are you Don Rosen, the famous radio personality from WRJN? And he gets this smile. He says, well, yes, I am. I said, could I get a picture with you, sir? So I took a selfie with Don Rosen. And I'm 6 foot tall. I'm not necessarily short, but I looked short in this picture next to Don Rosen. The guy, and unfortunately you can't see him, the guy's like 7'2". 320 pounds, fit, buff, the whole bit, with curly hair and looks like a famous actor.
So when I didn't shave, my mother used to say, what'd you shave? You look like you escaped from Attica. My mother always drew a picture. All right, so we're talking about 4th Fest. The big parade is coming up this Friday. And the good part about it, it's on a Friday. So,
oh, yeah.
So Saturday and Sunday, most people just have the day off. The bad part is people like it when it's on a Thursday because they take off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they come up with some phony excuse to get off on Monday, and they make it into a mini vacation. But it's on Friday, which is good for me because I don't have to get up the next morning.
Yes,
and
right.
I love
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Thursday night on July 3rd, we have our party on
Monument Square.
On Monument Square. We have Pat McCurdy, a well-known, very popular musician coming in to provide entertainment. We'll be selling raffle tickets and
Jeff Cole will be pushing his wheelbarrow around and giving some of the proceeds from his raffle tickets to Fourth Fest that evening. And so it's just a fun night. We kind of created that years ago as an opportunity. You know, people have friends and family coming in from out of town for the 4th of July. And, you know, what do? You know, let's do something. And so we decided to throw this party on the square, invite people to come down, hear some good music. We'll have some food trucks there. We'll have liquid refreshments. And just it's family friendly. I bring the kids every year. They run around and climb on Monument Square. And it's just a good time. And it helps to fund Fourth Fest because it is one of our fundraisers. Talking about funding Fourth Fest, it costs a lot of money to put on a parade. And you're thinking, why does it cost a lot of money? Well, there's a lot of moving pieces. We have to pay to televise the parade. And people have asked year after year, you know, is it going to be on TV? So we do that. The golf carts that you see us riding around in, those cost money. We have to rent radios. Those cost money. Some of the attractions, an out-of-state band, marching band, costs money because they need help, you know, getting here. And they come on big buses and stuff like that. And it's not fair for them to fundraise, you know, to have to go someplace. So, you know, some of these things do cost money. So we're raising money throughout the year. You guys were promoting our golf outing that we had recently. We had a party down the street from your house. It was a block party to raise money. But you can also go online,
You don't need the W's anymore, just so you know.
Fourthfest.org. And Fourth Fest isn't spelled out. It's an actual number four.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Fourthfest.org.
So 4TH Fest?
Yes.
.org. Okay.
Yeah. And you can donate online anytime, all day, all night. We never shut down.
like other internet services that shut down at 7 o'clock, yes, right?
At midnight. So go online. And then on parade day, we have people driving around with barrels. And we ask people to reach deep into their pocket, put a $100 bill in there, put a $50 bill in there, put a $20 bill in there.
Keep going. Keep going.
If you're a kid, throw some pennies in there, some quarters. We'll take it all. Bring your change jar from home, your swear jar, whatever it is, and help us fund the parade each year by donating. And money that we raise this year not only goes to offset the expenses of this year's parade, but it gives us a cushion for next year to be able to fundraise. I want to talk about...
Before you do that, I want to get this rule in that I keep forgetting to bring up. If you're on the parade route, you cannot set up before 5 a.m. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's not our parade rule. It's a city rule.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't set
up. Call your alderman.
And from somebody who lives on the parade route, my wife is there. She's looking at we set up on our front lawn first, and then 5, 4, 3, 2, move the chairs out at 5 a.m. But the police will make you move. They do go up and down Main Street. Mm. And if you're set up before 5 o'clock, they say, move. Come on. You can't set. It's not fair to the people who live in the houses on Main Street. Because if you're going to set up at 3 a.m., you know, people, and they're noisy. You know, they're not noisy like radios. But, you know, they're talking right outside your bedroom window.
Well, they're talking and they're drinking and they're having a party. So anyway,
it is 5 a.m. and they stick to that. So if you're planning on setting up at 4, they will make you move. And they'll wait till you move, too. Pick up your stuff.
I think this year I'm going to try something different. I'm going to stand outside Don Rosen's house at 4:59 a.m.
I'm going to hit you with a water balloon if you do that.
And I'll see if I can beat his wife to... You know? See, I'll already be on the sidewalk. She's going to be on the front porch. And I'm going to get my blanket put down. Boom!
I'm going to hit you with a hose.
And I'll have the grandkids there ready to sit on the blanket and stake our spot.
You know what? There's a lot of room. You're more than welcome. Yeah, we have relatives who come over, and they're regulars. And so we set, scope out. We put chairs out there. But there's plenty of room. And, you know, even in front of our driveway, we let people sit there because where we're going. You can't,
right.
You can't think any. So, and people say, can we park in front of your, you know, sit our butts in front of your driveway? Be my guest. We're not going anywhere. So, you know, take up the whole driveway. So, it's, you know, you got to be nice if you live on the street and everything. And,
yep.
Yeah. Be kind. Yeah. And go ahead. What's our next on
your list? All right. List? So, Mr. Fourth Fest. Yesterday, we got the sad news that Paul Schacht, one of our longtime board
that,
members, and Paul was the parade committee chair for 10 years running. He passed away. We knew he had been sick. A while back, we were told he was in hospice, although they said, oh, he's home and he's calling. He was still sending us emails saying, you know, I don't like this thing or I like this. And so he was still giving his 2 cents and up until, you know, a few weeks ago. But sadly, he passed away. It would have been nice if he could have held on till after the 4th because he just lived and breathed, you know, the 4th of July and our 4th Fest board and in the parade. He was up there in age, and he was still chalking the curb lines the day before the parade because if you're in the parade, we would measure out on our side streets, the staging area, a certain amount of space for each entry. And so we would chalk that out. And that way you knew where to park when you came in. So, you know, he could have let somebody younger do that or whatever, but he was still very, very engaged up until the end. So we knew his health was declining. He decided to resign from the board, and we made him an emeritus board member so he could still have all the perks. If he wanted to still come to a board meeting, he could, but he was under no obligation to show up if he decided not to. And the decision was made. Our board president, Jake Lovedahl, called me yesterday, called a few other people. What do you think about making Paul Mr. Fourth Fest posthumously? And I said, Jake, I think it's a great idea. I think you should just make the decision unilaterally. And anyone gives you trouble, we'll have your back, you know, type of thing. So we'll be honoring him that way. Also, 10:47 a.m., we have our military flyover, which is always pretty cool. You know, I forgot all about it last year. I was so engrossed in the parade that I did not get a picture, but I always try to get a picture. It's hard to shoot that flyover, though, because it's coming through so fast, and it's gone. And then one year, they miss a parade route completely. All of a sudden, I'm watching, and these planes are flying west of Main Street. It's like, guys, I'm waving my hands right now.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like one of those air guys, and it's over here, not over there, but...
I know what they were saying, too. Some dope is waving to us down in the street. Let's drop a bomb on him.
Yeah.
Dave Mack is here. David Mack is our 4th District Alder. He's also on the 4th Fest Committee. We're talking about the big 4th of July parade. It's coming up Friday. More coming up in just a moment here at WRJN. Sunny, highs near 82 degrees today. Clear tonight, lows around 67. The outlook for tomorrow, sunny with a high near 86. The outlook for the 4th of July, sunny, hot, highs near 90. Right now, 66 and sunny here at Radio Park.
Want to feel good from the inside out? At Aero Smoothies and Cafe, they blend real fruit. No syrups, no fillers, just pure, nutritious ingredients your body will thank you for. From antioxidant-rich acai bowls to protein-packed smoothies, every bite and sip is designed to fuel your day naturally. With fresh toppings like chia seeds, almond butter, granola, and more, it's the healthy choice that actually tastes amazing. Come nourish yourself at Aero Smoothies and Cafe, 424 Main Street, in downtown Racine, where health meets flavor every single time.
Racine's historic 4th Fest Parade is getting ready to step off for the 89th year on July 4th. The pre-parade starts at 8:30 with the sirens, classic cars, and tractors. The main parade starts at 9 a.m. sharp from Golden, Maine, traveling south on Maine for over 2.5 miles. This year's theme is Roots in Racine, highlighting the industry, heritage, and inventions that call Racine home.
Get all the details at RacineFourthFest.org. And we'll see you July 4th with WRJN.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Summer is here. Get some extra cash today with an installment loan up to $2,500 from your friends at AmeriCash Loans. AmeriCash Loans is a licensed lender with locations throughout Wisconsin. Just come by the Kenosha store at 6430 Green Bay Road, right in front of Lowe's. You can also call the store manager right now at 262-605-9777. That's 262-605-9777. Or visit AmeriCashLoans.com to apply online. That's AmeriCashLoans.com. Restrictions may apply.
Set sail with Racine Riverside Marine, your one-stop destination for all things boating in the heart of downtown Racine. Whether chasing the thrill of a Robalo or the timeless beauty of a Dufour, they have the brands you trust and more. New, used, power, or sail, Riverside has it all. From expert boat servicing to secure indoor and outdoor storage, Racine Riverside Marine is more than a dealership. It's your boating partner on the Great Lakes. Racine Riverside Marine. Visit today at 950 Erie Street or RacineRiverside.com. Let the water be your playground.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
David Mack, our 4th District Alder, is here, and we are talking about the big 4th Fest parade coming up. How long have you been on the 4th Fest committee?
I got on right after I...
In 1906.
No. Kind of interesting. My dad was involved in the parade when I was a youngster. He had a friend, Red Hughes, who had a bunch of horses and carriages. And Red was asked to be in the parade every year with a number of horses. He had carriages. He had a stagecoach. And so Red couldn't drive all these carriages by himself. And he asked my dad every year to drive one of the carriages. So my dad would be in the parade. We'd get pawned off to an aunt or uncle, and we'd go to the parade, and we'd wave to my dad when we saw him. Daddy, Daddy. But it was... Back then, a lot of the dignitaries got to ride in horse and buggy, which I thought was kind of cool. And you don't see that anymore, unfortunately. The only horses that we have are La Tapatias.
The dancing horses.
Yeah, which are always a crowd favorite. But, you know, to have a horse and buggy, a carriage in there would be kind of cool. But when I was in high school, my dad worked for Schaefer Pontiac. And he was asked to coordinate the cars, the convertibles that they would loan. And he says, you want to drive in the parade and get a couple buddies? So I had some buddies that agreed to help. We went to Schaefer. We got our cars. And so the one year I got to drive Les Aspin.
Oh, yeah, the congressman.
And
yeah.
Then I drove Dennis Cornwolf. And then the first year I worked for the county, my dad said, you're going to be driving Dennis Cornwolf this year. I'm like, oh, boy. And then the next year, Dennis's secretary calls. She says, will you be driving Dennis this year? He'd like you to be his driver. Like, oh, great. You know.
When I was in the Milwaukee 4th of July parade one year, the movie Pink Cadillac, it just came out with Clint Eastwood. They had the Pink Cadillac from the movie they used.
Oh, nice.
So I got to ride in that. The problem was it had a lot of problems to it. It was not a fine working car. And this thing was kept stalling. And we got through the parade, but it was the Pink Cadillac.
Yeah, the Scooby-Doo machine stalled one year when we had it in the parade. So anyway, so I drove in the parade for a number of years. And then when I became an alderman, I was in the parade. And when I left being an alderman in April of 2011, I volunteered for the parade that July. And then they asked me to be on the board in September, October timeframe. So I've been on the board since 2011. And as a result, I've been working hands-on with the parade. But my volunteering with the parade actually went back to probably 87.
Whoa. Long
time. 1987.
Now, you guys did something that the New York Times newspaper did, and I'll tell you what it was. There was a big newspaper strike years ago. I remember when it happened. They had about five newspapers in New York at this time, and they all went on strike, except the New York Times, even though they were on strike, printed one page.
That's right. You mentioned that frequently.
And they did
frequently.
It to keep the be the paper of record, and they never missed an edition. But it was only one page they put out. You guys did that during COVID.
Right. Next year will be our 90th
continuous
parade.
And you did that on COVID because you kept it continuous. You only had, I think, the Calliope came down the street.
Well, there were about 10 entries. Maybe, see, the mayor said we could only have, maybe 10. We actually fudged it, had maybe 15. But we actually had Miss Wisconsin that year. Very rare that we get Miss Wisconsin in the parade because the Miss Wisconsin pageant is usually held later or much earlier. And so they get booked elsewhere. And Miss Wisconsin was from Racine. It was, I forget what her name was, Bohm. I forget what her first name was. But anyway, so we had her. We had the Wienermobile. We had the Calliope. We had a few other things going on. And we drove it through Racine.
There was a car ahead of it going, the parade is coming. The parade is coming. Everybody, the parade is coming. And everybody went out of their house. It wasn't, there weren't people on a route. But yeah, at least, yeah.
So then when we had another Miss Racine that became Miss Wisconsin a few years back, and I know her mom, and I asked, is there any way we can get your daughter to be in the parade this year? And so we had to pay extra because it's handled separately, and we were able to book Miss Wisconsin. So we've had Miss Wisconsin a few years. But this year, the pageant was just a couple weeks ago. Miss Racine was already scheduled to be in the parade. So right now, I'm anticipating that Miss Wisconsin, a.k.a. the former Miss Racine, will be with us on Friday.
We
also have a World War I battle tank, which will be driving down the parade route. And did I mention that donations are welcome anytime online? We're open 24/7, www.forthfest.org.
That's the number 4 with a TH.
Yes, number 4 with a TH. And July 3rd, we have our party on Monument Square with Pat McCurdy, a very popular musician. And so we encourage you to come on out on July 3rd, and don't forget the fireworks on July 4th. We have one of the best fireworks shows in the state.
And what a great viewing stand, the hills at North Beach.
Yep, exactly.
That's beautiful viewing.
And you can even see them from Don's backyard if you want.
The trees. No, you can't anymore. The trees are so grown now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. My wife said when she first moved into that house, you could see the fireworks clear as day. Now the trees are so big.
Oh.
And we didn't, they're not cut. We Energies didn't chop them down yet.
But people say, when are the fireworks in Racine? They're on July 4th, and they're at dusk. When's dusk?
At 9:30.
About 9:30-ish. But it all depends on when the sun goes down. And then the other frequent question we get is, when is the 4th of July parade in Racine? And we let them know it's
on August. August 3rd.
It's on the 4th of July. 8:30 pre-parade, 9 a.m. The parade kicks off on Gould Street and Main, And it goes all the way to the Golden Rondelles on 14th Street. So it's a long parade, about 2.5 miles long. Don Rosen will be in it, and we look forward to seeing everyone.
I love having you here.
Yeah, I love being here.
It's always good talking to you. Always have a good time.
I even got a haircut last week because I was supposed to be on last Tuesday.
Still holding that anger in, aren't you? David Mack, our 4th District Alder, board member for 4th Fest, and we thank you very much for coming. I can't wait for the parade.
Thank you.
It's going to be a beautiful day is being planned. Hey, it's exactly 8 o'clock right now. Let's check our morning news.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A surprise development in the case of the four University of Idaho students murdered 3 years ago. The accused killer, Brian Koberger, has agreed to plead guilty. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
We spoke to Ben Mogan, the father of victim Madison Mogan, who was relieved to receive the letter.
If you get a quick death sentence, and you don't have to spend decades thinking about how terrible you made the world.
Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
He has agreed basically to plead guilty to avoid the death penalty. It's a bit surprising, only because he has been fighting these charges tooth and nail during the pretrial phase.
Investigators are still looking for a motive in the ambush deaths of two fire battalion chiefs in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. What they do know about 20-year-old Wes Rowley, Sheriff Robert Norris.
There is information that we've received that he at one time wanted to be a firefighter.
Officials say Rowley set a brush fire to lure the victims to Canfield Mountain. They also say he shot himself to death. Lawmakers in the Senate.